All right, everyone, say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Dalit. We are picking up on Gimel Amud Beis, 3B. So remember, again, we're actually picking up with Ella Asya. It's five lines up from the bottom, Gimel Amud Beis. So just to reorient ourselves a little bit, we are dealing with the Shita of Rabbi Chiya. And Rabbi Chiya said that if you have the following situation, I go over to Reuben and say, Reuben, you owe me $1,000. Reuben says, I owe you nothing. Then what happens? Witnesses come along and say, Reuven owes 500. So Rabbi Chiya paskins that those witnesses create or generate an obligation for a shvua, like a modib amiktsas type of situation, like a partial admission. And what is Rabbi Chiya's logic? Rabbi Chiya's logic is that one's own personal admission should be no stronger than aiding. And just like one's personal admission could generate an obligation for modib amiktsas, partial admission, so too Aidim have to generate an obligation for modim mikdas as well. So we'll say, and we're trying to learn. So we have been focusing on where exactly we learn out, and he says we learn out from a kal v'chomer. So we've been focusing on trying to figure out what exactly the kal v'chomer is from which Rabbi Chiya learns this out. So let's continue. Ela Asya. So we'll say Gimel Amud Beis 3b. Five lines up from the bottom. Ela Asya me'ed echad. So we'll say, so rather it must be that Rabbi Chiya learns this out from a kal v'chomer with eid echad. But here's the problem. Uma eid echad, shein mechayva mamon mechayva shvua. So what's an eid echad, which cannot obligate someone in mamon, but yet can generate an obligation for shvua. Eidim shein mechayvin oso mamon, eino din shein mechayvin oso shvua. So we'll say two eidim, which could actually go ahead, and who could actually go ahead and what? Generate an obligation for mamon, certainly they should obligate one for shvua as well. To which the Gemara says, well, here's the problem with that kal v'chomer. Ma le'ed echad shekin amashu me'ed hu nishba. So you'll say, here's the problem. An eid echad could generate an obligation for a shvua, but an eid echad generates an obligation for a shvua upon that which the eid testified. Top of Dalet Amud Alef. Tomar ve'edim shamasha kafar hu nishba. But we'll say, when it comes to regular eidim, so regular Eidim, remember two Eidim, so ultimately again you're actually swearing on that which he denied. So remember again, Abosa, here's the interesting distinction. An Eid Echad brings forward a piece of information and generates a Shavua on that piece of information. Two Eidim bring forward information and go ahead and generate the Shavua on that which the defendant denied. So for example, in this case over here, Eidim are showing up, they're saying you owe 500, that generates an obligation to swear on the remaining 500. So the Gemara says, Ela Amra Papa. So we'll say, Dalet Amud Aleph, 4a, second line down. Ela Amra Papa, Asi Migilgul Shavua De'Eid Echad. Suppose it says, Rav Papa, we can learn it out. The kal v'chomer can be learned out from the case of Gilgul Shvua Ve'edechad. Suppose say, what's Gilgul Shvua? If you take a look at Rashi, Mi Gilgul Shvua De'edechad, Im Nischayv Lo Shvua Ayidei Edechad Kidar Minon, V'haysa Alav Taina Acheres Shalo Haysa Mutalas Alav Shvua, Megalgulin Osa Im Shvua Zos, V'nishpa Al Shnehem. The Gilgul Shvua Dor I see Kidafinim B'shvua. Suppose listen to this. There are certain situations where a person cannot be made to swear. We'll get into the technicalities of that for whatever the reason. The concept of Gilgul Shvua says once a person is already swearing, we could go ahead and devolve upon them additional shvuas. So even though I couldn't swear about you know subject A by itself, it wouldn't generate an obligation of shvua. Once I'm already swearing, I could swear about a whole bunch of other things. So the Gemara says, why don't we start with Gilgul Shvua Ve'erechot? Mal Gilgul Shvua De'erechot? Shekin Shvua Gorer Shvua. So when it comes to a Shvua, to Gilgul Shvua, so an Erechot makes me obligated in the Shvua in a particular area, and then Gilgul Shvua says that I'm obligated to swear about another host of other areas. So the Gemara says, Torah Be'edim De'mamon Kamachaybo. So the Gemara says, but say by, I'm sorry, So here's the problem with regular Eidim. Ultimately, again, Eidim are not Mechayiv the Shvua, Eidim are Mechayiv Mamon. To which the Gemara says, Pivyokiach, well, we could prove this from the case of Modiv Mikzas, Malafiv, Shekin Eino Ba'achosha. But I'll say, here's the problem with using the one's own Hoda'a as a source for the Kal v'chomer. Because we'll say one's own mouth is not subject to hachasha. Remember we said this yesterday, that if I go ahead and I admit a claim, I admit that I owe Reuven $1,000, even if witnesses show up and testify to the contrary, that I don't owe Reuven anything, I am still believed because Hoda'as Eidim, Hoda'as Baldin Kameh Eidim. So the Gemara says, Eidecha Yochiach, Shiyeshno Bacha, Shomachai Voshua. So Moses says, let's make the Kavachor from Eidecha, because Eidecha is subject to the laws of Hachasha, of refutation, and yet, again, it can obligate someone in taking a Shavua. Male Eidecha, Shekinamasha Meid, Hu Nishba. So Moses, here's the problem. Eidecha is not good for the Kavachomer. Why? Because the Maisa, again, when it comes to an Eid Echad, what the Shvua is upon that which the Eid Echad is testifying. Tomar Be'edim, Shama Shakafra Hu Nishba. So also when it comes to regular Eidus, two Eidim, ultimately the Shvua is upon the amount, or upon, we'll call it upon the amount, that is not being testified about. To which the Gemara says, Pivyochia. So we'll say, so just understand what we're trying to do over here. We're just trying to figure out what the Kal V'chomer of Rabbi Chiyo is. That's all we're doing over here. Rabbi Chiyo just made a simple statement. And Rabbi Chiyo said, going back to the case that we started the shir with this morning, which is actually we started yesterday with, I claim that Reuven owes me $1,000. Reuven says he owes me nothing. He owes me nothing. Witnesses show up and say Reuven owes 500. So Rabbi Chiyo paskined that Reuven should now have to swear on the remaining 500. Reuven was kofer bakol, he didn't admit anything, to which Rabbi Chiyo said, because the testimony of witnesses should be no less strong than one's own partial admission. And just like one's own partial admission would generate an obligation to take a shavua on the remainder, so to when witnesses show up and testify that he owes, that Reuven owes half, he should have to swear on the other half. And Rabbi Chiyo said, I learned this stuff from a Kal V'chomer. All we're trying to figure out is, what's the Kal V'chomer? What's the Kal V'chomer you're talking about? And the truth is, to a certain degree, we've been unsuccessful. So the Gemara says, V'chazer adin. So, and we keep going in circles. Lo ri'i zeh k'ri izeh, v'lo ri'i zeh k'ri izeh. Here's the problem. Every single time we try to make a Kal V'chomer, we find some type of striking dissimilarity, or what we call a pircha, that prevents us from making a true Kal V'chomer. So the Gemara says, Zat sada shava shavan. At the end of the day, the common denominator is the following. So also the common denominator of the cases we're discussing is that through a taina, there's a claim, there's a kfira, there is a denial of that claim, hein ba'in v'nishba, a shvua is generated. Af ani avi edim, sha'al yidei taina u'kfira, hein ba'in v'nishba. So to Rabbi say, I will bring in, Rabbi Chiyo says, the case of two edim, where there is a taina, there is a claim, there is a kfira. Ultimately, again, there is a denial, and therefore, again, it generates a shvua. To which the Gemara says, well, I don't understand. Why don't you say, ma'atzada sheva shebahen shekein lehuchza kafron? So I'll say, maybe the common denominator in all of these cases is that the reason why we generate an obligation for a shvua is because the individual in question, we'll call him the defendant, has not been established as a liar. Therefore, the shvua is a proper mechanism to kind of vet out whether or not he's telling the truth. So the Gemara says, Tomar be'edim shekein hochza kafron. We'll say, yet in this case over here, Rabbi Chiya's case, the guy is a liar. The guy's an established liar. We'll say, Heaven is an established liar. Because remember again, I said, Reuven, you owe me $1,000. Reuven said, what? No. I owe you nothing. I owe you nothing. Witnesses now came along and said he owes 500. So we'll say, so first of all, he's a liar. He's a liar because he said he owed me nothing. It's not true. He owes me something. All right, there might be a machlokes as to how much he owes me. But Lamaise certainly owes me something. So how could we administer a shavua to someone who we already know is a liar? What's the pshat? To which the Gemara says, Vamra vidibar avin amarav chista hakofer. So to which the Gemara says, is that true? That it will say if somebody claimed they don't owe money and witnesses came along and said they do own money, that such a person is established to be a bona fide liar, is that true? This is amazing. But this is actually quite amazing, that somebody who denies a milva, somebody who denies a loan, somebody who denies that he ever borrowed money, is still kosher le'edos, still permitted to testify. However, but pikadon, if he lied regarding a pikadon, that he was entrusted with an item, then pasul le'edos. So we'll say, so what's the logic over here? Look at Rashi. Hakofer b'milva, it's actually almost right across in Rashi. Kofer b'milva, bein akula bein amiksas, ubo edim ve'eidua ad shalom nishba. So we'll say if somebody denied the existence of a loan, he denied that he ever borrowed money, whether he denied the whole part, whether he denied part of it, and witnesses come and witnesses come and prove that he was lying. Kashaleidus, Rashi says, Velo Aminan Gazlanu. We do not say that such a person is a thief. That Torah Omra Atashes Rasha Eid, the Chevan de Movalo Tsun Nitna, Dilmat Sarach Lo Tsia. Here's the difference. A loan becomes the property of the borrower. So whenever somebody lies about a loan, we don't assume that they're a Rasha or a liar. Rather, what we assume is what? They don't have the money. They don't have the money. We spoke about that yesterday. They're buying themselves more time. Why don't you just say they need more time? Okay, because we're complex beings. But Lamaisa, again, we don't establish someone as liar. As opposed to, that's because Milvalot San Nitna. That's because a loan becomes the property of the borrower. Versus a pikadon. So you will say, because when you entrust an object to someone, that object remains the possession of the owner. The person who's watching it has no rights in that object. As such, if he claims he doesn't have that, that's chuchsa kafron. Such an individual like that is established to be a liar and is pasul eidos. So you want to say, ala parachachi. Rather, why don't you ask the following? Ma la'atzara sheva shebohen, shekin einan b'toras hazama. In all of these other cases, Rabosai, these situations are not subject to hazama. Remember, hazama is the reciprocal punishment when witnesses are shown to be lying. Tomar be'edim sheyeshnan b'toras hazama. Both say the case of the two edim, they are subject to hazama. Halokasha. Truth is, that's not such a big question. Rabbi Chiya toras hazama lo parak. Rabbi Chiya doesn't feel that hazama really has any bearing on this conversation, and therefore it doesn't create a pircha for establishing the kavachomer. Ela da'amar, dika'amar, v'tanatuna. Rabbi Chiya, remember again, Rabbi Chiya wanted to bring our Mishnah as a proof to his statement. To which the Gemara says, "Me dummy, how can you compare the cases? Hasam the milva islay sahadi la lova lasley sahadi." But in Rabbi Chiya's case, the lender has witnesses that he lent money to the borrower, and the borrower has no witnesses. La lova lasley sahadi to la masik le velo midi. The borrower has no witnesses that he did not borrow or has no money that belongs to the lender. Because if the borrower were to have witnesses that he did not borrow, and he has nothing to do with this particular lender, lo boi Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Chiya would not have made him take a shvua. To which the Gemara says, hacha, but in the case of Shnayim Ochsin, ki hechi da anan sahadi bahai, anan sahadi bahai. It was a yet, interestingly enough, in the case of Shnayim Ochsin Batalis, so remember we've established that when we see Reuven and Shimon both holding on to the talis, essentially, we become the witnesses. So we'll say, meaning we are circumstantial witnesses that the part that Reuven is holding onto belongs to him, and the part that Shimon is holding onto belongs to him, and yet what? Va'afilu hachi mishtabai. Nevertheless, the Mishnah creates an obligation for a shua. So we'll say, see here the kasha, Rabbi Chiya wanted to say, my case is like the Mishnah. So Rishon Gemara says, but your case is not like the Mishnah. In Rabbi Chiya's case, the loveh, the borrower, has to take a shuvu on the remaining 500 because he doesn't have any witnesses to back up his claim. In fact, just the opposite. He has witnesses only that contradict his claim. In our Mishnah, both of the parties have, essentially, we say, it's as if both of the parties have witnesses on their side. What's the pshat that both the parties have witnesses on their side? Because I must say, we assume that the part that they're holding onto, that's the equivalent of having testimony that they own it. And yet what? Even in that case, where both sides have witnesses, there's still an obligation for shvua. So the cases are dissimilar. Rather, when we said that our Mishnah is like Rabbi Chiya, it's talking about another ruling of Rabbi Chiya. The Itmar, the Itmar says, the Amr Rabbi Chiya, Manali biyadecha, v'ala omer, ein lecha biyadi, elonun zuz. There's an interesting case. Rabbi Chiya says the following. I say to Reuven, Reuven, you owe me $1,000. And Reuven says, no, I only have 500, right? 500, and the haloch. And here it is, take it. Here it is, take it, it's yours. So we'll say, so take a look at Rashi for just a moment. This is the famous, much anticipated case of Halach. We've been waiting for this for years to get the Halach, right? This we're going to see, this is a bigger sugya. Look at Rashi. Halach, it's four lines down in the wide lines of Rashi. Halach, lo hotseisim behin shalchav b'chomakum shein. So also what this sounds like over here, according to Rashi, is Halach, it means Reuven, I say, Reuven, you owe me $1,000. Reuven says, no, I only owe you 500, and here is the money. Not here is the money I'm paying you. I never even spent the money. I never actually even used the money. So literally the same monies you gave me, here they are, take it. Here they are, take it. So the Gemara says, watch this. So the Gemara says, Chayiv. Ultimately, again, Reuven will be chayiv, another shvua for Modim HaMikzas. Because I will say, it's essentially, why, my time, Heilach nami ki Modim HaMikzas atayna dami. Because I will say, Heilach, the fact that Reuven's going ahead and giving me The fact that Reuven is going ahead and giving me the 500, the same 500 that I actually lent him, is no different than any other case that Modu makes us. With Tana Tuna, and I will say we have a Braisa, and our Mishnah supports this idea. Shnaim Ochsim Betalis. So I will say, just so you understand, look at Rashi for just a moment, Chayiv. It's the same, right, four lines down on the wide lines. V'shlishava ala shar, v'lo aminon, hani dikamodli bekavayu, hoil v'isnu ba'anayu kiman, denokit luhudami, elu kisha'ar Modu Mitzvah b'chayim. So we're going to see, there's going to be two ways of looking at the case of Halach. So one way of the case of Halach is, okay, it's Modu b'miktsas, no different than one. The other part is, that, and we'll see this in just a few moments, that since the monies, that I, since the very money that I gave Reuben is in existence, that's as if what? That money is already in my, the lender's possession. Which means then that the second part of Reuben's dinar, the dinar of the other 500, is not treated like a modu b'miktsas. Instead, it's treated as the denial of its own existing loan. In other words, that 500, that is the same 500 that I lent him that was never used, to a certain degree, it's as if it never left my domain. So because of that, again, it's like that was never a loan. The only loan, therefore, that exists is what? The second 500. And essentially, again, on that second 500, Reuben's on a modu b'miktsas. What is he? What is he? He's a kofar bakol. That's a full denial. So that's going to be the counter argument in just a moment. So Gemara says, "V'tana tuna." Our Mishnah supports this assertion. Av Rabbi Chiya, shnayim ochsim betalis. So we'll say two people holding on to a talis. Va'acha kevan de tafis anasadi demay de tafis heilochu v'katani yishas. So we'll say, see, interestingly enough, remember in this case, Reuben's holding on to half, Shimon's holding on to half. So the Gemara wants to say, as much as they're both claiming kula shali, this is like a case of halach, where both are recognizing that they really have no claim on the part that the other is holding. So lemaisa is as if what? It's as if they say halach to the other. Fine, take your half, and it's right here. And yet, nevertheless, what do you see? Lemaisa, they still have to take a shavua. So Rav Sheisha says, no, halach putter. Well, so Rav Sheisha says that Helich is pater from a Shavua. Why? My taima, kevan damar le Helich, since he says Helich, so again, just to be clear what the case of Helich is. I say to Reuven, you owe me $1,000. Reuven says, no, I only own you 500, and here is the 500. I'm sorry? It is Helich, because since at the end of the day, even though they're both claiming Helich Shali, they know deep down at the end of the day they have no testimony to back up their claim. The most they're going to get is the part they're holding on to. So even though they're saying Kula Shali, there's an understanding what they're saying is, yeah, the part that I'm holding on to is Kula Shali. The other part, Helich, go, take it. So Moshe Rav Sheisha says, Helich is Potter. Now, remember again, so let's just clarify the case. I lent you $1,000, pay me back. Reuven says, no, you only lent me 500, and here is the 500 you lent me. I never even took the money off my table. It's sitting there, take it back. That's Helich, go and take it. So Rav Sheisha says, Helich, Reuven is not going to be chayiv ashua modu b'miktsas, not a partial emission oath. Why? My taima, kevan d'amar le helich hanizuzi dekamodi b'gavayhu. Because we'll say, since Reuven is saying, go ahead and take this money, I admit that I owe you, and it's the very monies you lent me. B'may dinoket luhu malva dami be'inach chamishim ha lo modi. So we'll say, we view that amount, that money, as its own separate transaction, and the second amount that the borrower does not admit to is reckoned as its own separate transaction. Hek hilchach lekahodas miksas ataina. Therefore, Rabbi says there is no partial admission. Ul Rav Sheishes kashem as nisin. But according to Rav Sheishes, as Rabbi will say, our Mishnah poses a problem because you just wanted to say that our Mishnah is like a case of halach, and yet what does the Mishnah say? The Mishnah says that both parties have to take a shavua. To which the Gemara says, Amar lechar Rav Sheishes mas nisin takaras chachamim. The Mishnah is a different kind of halacha. The Mishnah says, you saw yesterday's daf, the obligation to take a shvua in the Mishnah is a takaras chachamim. It's a rabbinic enactment. So because of that, again, it doesn't necessarily follow the same rules as we find in other cases. Ve'idach, and Rabbi Chiya would say, in takaras chachamim, yes, the shvua in the Mishnah is a takaras chachamim. Umihu I amrit bishlama midoraisa, he lechayiv mitakni rabbana shvua kein doraisa. So even if you want to say the shvua in our Mishnah is a takana de rabbanan, so also remember again, takanas de rabbanan are modeled after dine doraisa, are modeled after biblical laws. So therefore, again, listen to this. If you say that midoraisa helech is chayiv, then I understand why the rabbanan would fashion a shvua that goes ahead and looks like helech. I'm sorry, let me say that differently. If you say that Helich is Chayiv Midoraisa, then I understand why in the case of Shnayim Ochsim Betalis, that looks like halach, even though it's not a real case of halach, the Rabbanon legislated a shvua. Ella I amrit midaraisa halach pater. Mitakni Rabbanon shvua de leise kavasa midaraisa. But Rabbanon say, if you say that halach is pater, then lamais again, would the rabbis institute a shvua that does not resemble a biblical oath? And of course, it's a rhetorical question, but the answer to that, of course, is no. Mesi. So also the Gemara is kasha. So just to understand, because I want to frame, even though halach is not the major point over here, but again, just keep it in mind. So this is a fundamental machlokas. So both say the machlokas of halach again is the following. I go ahead and I say to Reuven, I lent you $1,000. He claims he only owes me $500. Sounds like a typical modeb miktsas case, except one issue. He says the monies ultimately that I borrowed from you, that I owe you, are literally right here. I never touched them. So both say, so the question is, what's the status of that admission? So first opinion, Rabbi Chiya, regular partial admission, that's modeb miktsas. Rav Sheshis, no. Since the money was never used, it's as if it never left the lender's domain. Because it left never left the lender's domain, it's as if what? Almost as if there was never a loan. So because there was never a loan, really, again, the machlokes, or the point of contention, is the second 500. Therefore, when Reuven claims that he never borrowed the second 500, that's not a mode that mimics us, because again, the first part of the loan is considered as if it was never actually made, since it never left the domain of the owner. Rather, again, it's a kofar bakol. It's a denial of everything, and a denial of everything, there is no shvua. That's the machlokes by halach. So Gemara is the kasha, meisvei, raise the kasha, sloim binorim. This is actually an interesting case. So let's say, I wrote a shtar, and I lent money to Reuven, and in the shtar it's written, I lent Reuven sloim or dinorim. I lent him some slum, these are coins. Only one problem, which is, right, how much, right? How much did I lend him? It doesn't say that. So the Gemara says, malva omer chamish ulova omer shalosh. So the lender says, I lent you five, and the borrower says, you only lent me three. Reb Shimon Elazar Omer, Hoyel v'Hodim Mikzas Atani Yishava. So Reb Shimon Elazar says, that look, this is a case of Modim Mikzas, and therefore what? The borrower has to swear. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Eino Elo Kimeshiv Aveda Upater. Oh, Rabbi Akiva says, no, this individual is like someone who's returning a lost object. And when you go ahead and you return a lost object, we'll say, listen to this case. I find Reuven's wallet on the street. This is Mamish Maisim B'chol Yom. I find Reuven's wallet on the street. So what happens? I return it to him. I'm so happy. Hashavas Haveda for Yam Noraim. Reuven opens up and says, thank you so much. But one second. There was $1,000 in here. Now there's a $5 bill in there. Right? You took my money. So we'll say the halacha is that I cannot be made to take a shvua about how much money was in the wallet at the time that I found it, for one very simple reason, which is exactly because if you go ahead and you make people take shvuas, right, for being meshiv aveda, everyone's going to say, no, I don't need this headache. So therefore, again, Rabbi Akiva suggests over here that in this case where I claim, Reuven, you owe me five, and he says I owe you three, there's an obligation of shvua. Why? Because he's like a meshiv aveda, someone who's returning a lost object. Now, why is that? Well, I could listen to this. Rabbi Akiva says, because the lover could very easily exempt himself with a different claim. What's the claim he could make? What's the claim? Right? Or no, not zero, because it says slow dinar, but he can say two. Because remember, again, some of them just means plural. What's the most basic definition of that plurality? Right? Two. See, he could have just said two. The fact that he's saying three, meaning the Rabbi, remember, the shtar has no amount. So at this point in time, all it tells me is it's more than one. So if he would have said two, the shtar would have backed him up also. He says three. So Rabbi Kiva is like, Mesha, he's like, he's returning a lost object, and he can't be made to swear. I think Gemara says, Katani mihas, Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, Hoel v'hod, the mikzah satani yishava. So we'll say, let's look at Rav Shimon Elazar. So Rav Shimon Elazar says, Shimon Elazar says that hoil v'hol de b'miksa satani yishava, that because he admitted part of the claim, he has to take a shvua. Taima damar shalosh. So, Shimon Elazar, the reason why he has to take a shvua is because he admitted that he owed three. Hashtayim putter. So, we'll say ultimately again, it would appear that. Good morning, Mr. Shulton. It would appear that had he gone ahead and just admitted two, then l'maisa what? He would have been pater from a shvua. He would have been pater from a shvua. So what's the pshat? V'hai shtar dekamodi bei heiluchu. Rabbi said, now this would be a case. This shtar ultimately, again, that he's admitting to, should be the equivalent, ultimately, again, of a case of heiluch. Look at Rashi just a moment. U'shtar dekamodi heiluchu. V'lo gassinan kevan dekamodi bei. De belavho de aso nami kol shtari heiluchu. We'll say essentially the shtar ultimately again should be the equivalent of halach. Ushma mina halach pater. And see from here that's what? The case of halach is pater in the shvua. To which the Gemara says, no. Well, the olam emulacha shtayim chayiv. No, even according to Shimon Elazar Bosa, even had the borrower just admitted that he owed two, right? And that he owed two, he also would have been chayiv a shvua for mod de b'mikzas. The high diktani shalosh. Aye, so why does it say three? Laf, meaning why do we bring down that case? Laf vukim mid Rabbi Akiva domer meshiv aveda havi upater. I will say to show that Rabbi Shimon Elazar disagrees with Rabbi Akiva's logic and holds this individual is not like a meshiv aveda and therefore is not pater from a shua. Kamash malon debod de b'mikzas atayna havi v'chayiv. So I will say Rabbi Shimon Elazar chooses to frame the case of three in order to highlight. His contention or his disagreement with Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says if he admits to three, the guy's like a Meshiv Aveda. He could have gotten away with two, yet he's claiming three, certainly no Shavua. Rabbi Shmuel says no, even in a case of three, we look at this as a situation of Mod Debemiktsas, and therefore he will be Chayav Shavua. Ihaki, if that's the case, Rabbi Shimon Elazar Omer Hoa Behod Debemiktsas Atani Yeshava, when it said before, Rabbi Shimon Elazar says since he was Mod Debemiktsas, he has to take a Shavua. Af Ze Yeshava Mibayeli. Rabbi should say, Even in this case where he admits three, he should have to take a shvua. Eloli olam shtayim pater. Rather, in reality, you would say that according to Rabbi Shimon Elazar, if the borrower were to admit that he owed two, he would be pater from a shvua. Why would he be pater from a shvua in that case? Because the mice again, in that situation, that the shtar backs him up. Right? We'll say, if I claim Reuven, you owe me five zuz, and the shtar, or you owe me five sloin, and the shtar just says that I lent Reuven sloin, and Reuven says, I know I only owe you two. But he doesn't have to take a shvua in that case. You know why? Because again, the shtar supports him, because the shtar backs up that claim. The shtar, again, sloin is plural, I don't know how much it is, but I also know that it's quite plausible that it only means two. The halach chayiv. In reality, under normal circumstances, when you say halach, you still chayiv v'shua on the remainder. V'shayni hacha, dekama seyei eshtar. I'll say this case, as we just mentioned before, this case is different. Why? Because when the borrower says, I only owe you two, technically speaking, he has a shtar that backs up that assertion. Inami, dahat mishun dahayvede shtar shibud karkos. I'll say the other possibility is, every shtar represents shibud karkos. I'll say under normal circumstances, transactions recorded in the shtar are often backed up or are secured by land. And I will say, ultimately, again, we do not swear upon the denial of a claim that is associated with land. Ika the most of Lami Seifa. So we'll say there are others who go ahead and back this up from the Seifa. Rabbi Akiva Omer Eino Elo Kimeshiv Aveda Upater. Rabbi Akiva says that remember, when the borrower admits that I owe you three, the lender's naming you owe me five, the borrower says I owe you three, Rabbi Akiva says there's no obligation of the Shavua because the borrower is like a Meshav Aveda, right? He's like returning a lost object. Time of Damar Shalosh. I will say Rabbi Akiva only says he's a Meshav Aveda. Why? Because he's saying three. However, because remember again, technically that's more than he had to admit to. So Hashtayim Chayiv. I will say, had the borrower said I owe you two, it would appear that he would be Chayiv. I vahashtar de kamodi bei kehelech dami, but I will say the shtar should be the equivalent of a case of helech and shmami na helech chayiv. And yet again, Rabbi Akiva is going to say you would still be chayiv in a shvua. So what do you see from here? That helech is chayiv in a shvua. To which the Gemara says, "Lo, the olam emulachashtein nami pater." Rather, no. We could even say that even if he admitted to, according to Rabbi Akiva, he would still be pater from a shvua. I vahadik tani shalosh. So why does Rabbi Akiva choose the case of three? Lafukim with Rav Shimon Elazar. Rabbi say to dafka make a point to make a stand against the sheet of Rav Shimon Elazar. Damer mode b'mikzas atayni chayiv. So what's because remember Shimon Elazar says that when the borrower admits that I owe you three and the lender is claiming you owe me five, according to Shimon Elazar that is what? That is a case of mode b'mikzas, and therefore again the borrower will have to swear about the remaining two. Rabbi Akiva says no. Even in that case, kamash malon the meshiv aveda havi upater. Rabbi Akiva says in that case where the borrower admits that he owes three, that's even a strong case. So according to Rabbi Akiva, if the borrower would have admitted two, of course there's no shua. That's what it sounds like according to everyone. If the borrower would have admitted two, I shouldn't say according to everyone. According to Rabbi Akiva, if the bar wouldn't admit it too, would have admitted that he owes just two. So Lemaisa, again, there would be no Shvua anyway. Why? Because he has a shtar that seemingly backs up that claim. When he admits three, according to Rabbi Akiva, there's for sure no Shvua. Why? Because Lemaisa, again, he's a Meshiv Aveda. Because if I say admitting three, he's going above and beyond what he even has to admit to. When somebody does that, Lemaisa, again, we're not going to impose a Shvua upon him. To which the Gemara says, "How can I, Mistabra? This appears to be clear." So we'll say, because according to Rabbi Akiva, if you would say that when he would make a claim that I only owe you two, that it'd be chayiv a shvua, does that make sense? Shtayim chayiv b'shalosh pater. Excuse me, b'shalosh hechi pater le Rabbi Akiva. So how could it be that in the case, if you would say that he's chayiv in two, could it be that Rabbi Akiva would say that he's chayiv in a case of three? To which the Gemara says, "Hi, arumi kamerayim." The Gemara says, "Yes, it could be that you could have a situation where the havamina is that even though Rabbi Akiva would have said that if you made a claim of two, he would be pater, that if he would make a claim of three, he would be chayiv. Why? Because maybe the guy is trying to manipulate the system. Because he could very easily say, savar, iyamina shtayim ba'ina ishtabuye. Because it will say, had I just claimed that I owe two, then what? I would have been chayiv to take a shvua. Ema shalosh tahavi kemeshev aveda ve'ifter. So I'll just claim three. It's like I'm a meshev aveda, and I'll be pater. However, elashmamina shtayim nami pater. So we'll say at the end of the day, the Gemara says no, but according to Rabbi Akiva, whether the borrower goes ahead and claims that he only owes three, or whether, two, or three, he will be pater. I will say if he claims he only owes two, he's going to be pater because the shtar backs him up. If he claims he owes three, then what? Then what? He's going to be pater. Why? Meshiv aveda. Because it's as if he's returning a lost object. So the Gemara says, Elakashta Abichia, but I will say at the end of the day, this still poses a question to Abichia, because Abichia is of the opinion that Halich is Chayiv Ashvua, Shiny Hasam, the Kamisai Lishtara. So we'll say, no, this case is not a question, that is not a problem. Why? Because I will say over here, when the borrower admits that he owes two, the reason why we're not going to impose the Shvua is because the Shtar backs up that assertion. We'll say the other possibility is that this shtar has a shibud on karko, has a lien against land, and we don't swear regarding claims that are backed up by land. Massive marzoch reid Rav Nachman ta'anu kelim v'karkos v'hodu b'kelim v'kafa b'karkos. So we'll say, listen to this. So Marzutra therefore raises a kasha. And Marzutra says, based on what you just said, the following case. Tardu Kalim v'karkos. So we'll say, if I claim against Reuven that Reuven owes me Kalim, utensils, and karka and land. Hold the Kalim v'kafar v'karkos. So Reuven admits the utensils, but he denies the land. Or hold the v'karkos v'kafar v'kalim. Or he admits the land and he denies the utensils. Potter. I will say the halacha is he's potter from any kind of shvua. Why is he potter from any kind of shvua? So I will say because remember again, any claim that involves land is not subject to shvua. Any claim that involves land, nothing, again we'll discuss why that is, but anything to do with land, you can't swear upon karko. Can't swear upon karko. So the Gemara says, Hodev mixas karkos potter. I will say if at the end of the day he was modiv a mixas by the karko, I don't owe you an acre, I owe you a half an acre, he's still potter. Why? Because he will say, again, remember, there's no such thing as modiv a mixas by karko, mixas kelim, but if he was modiv a mixas by the utensils, then what? Chayiv. They will say he's going to be chayiv. Fine. Taima the kelim the karkos. Right? So we'll say the reason why he's not chayiv shvua in these cases is why? Because the claim is on kelim and karkos. The karka la bashvuhi, because we'll say when the claim involves karka, there's no shvua because you can't take a shvua on karka for reasons we'll see in tomorrow's daf. So the Mar says, ha kelim v'kelim, dumia de kelim v'karkos, chayif. So we'll say, yet interestingly enough, if let's say I claimed against Reuven that he owes me two different types of utensils, right? Two different types of utensils, then what? Then that would, dumia de kelim v'karkos, meaning similar to a case of kelim v'karkos, which means we'll say that what? That ultimately, again, he admits part of the claim. He would be chayiv. Sehechi dami. So we'll say, what's the case? Lav da amar lehelech. It must be a case, ultimately, again, of what? Of helech. Where I'm claiming two different utensils, and he says, I only owe you one of them. Here it is. Ushmamina helech chayiv. And we'll say, what do we see from here? We see that helech is chayiv in a shvua. To which the Gemara says, "Lo, the olam emelacha kelim v'kelim nami pater." We'll say the truth is no, not true. We'll even say that in a case ultimately again of kelim v'kelim, of where the claim is only against utensils, and there's a partial admission of one who'll also be pater. V'hadik tani kelim v'karkos ha kamash molon hoda b'miktas kelim chayiv af ala karkos. Or we'll say the novelty over here is the following: that in a case where ultimately again if we will say, if I'm claiming against Reuven, Kalim and Karkos, and he's modib and miktsas on the Kalim, not only does he have to go ahead and swear on the Kalim, but what else does he have to swear on? He has to swear on the Karka. He has to swear on the Karka, like Gilgal. So the Gemara says, Kamai Kamash Malon, Zokikin. Both say Zokikin is a different lashon for Gilgal. Once he's swearing about the partial admission on the Kalim, we'll also throw in there the obligation ultimately again of Karka. So the Gemara says, Mai Kamash Malon Zokikin. So are you telling me again, is the novelty over here that you're teaching me about the concept of Zokikin, that we go ahead and we'll impose a Shvua, in other words, that once you're already taking a Shvua, we can make you take a Shvua on other things that would not normally be subject to the laws of Shua? Tanin, we learned that already. Zokakin anachasim she'in lanachrayis. Ima esanachasim she'ish lanachrayis lishav alein. So let's say, but we already learned that already. Right? We already learned that lamaisa again, once you're swearing about movable property, we can also make you swear about real property. To which the Gemara says, you're right. Hasam agav grara naspa. Hacha ikar. Hasam agav grara naspa. To which the Gemara says, you're right. Hasam, in the case, Hacha, which was actually referring to the Mishkan Shavuos, this was the primary topic, but Hasam, in Kiddushim, it was kind of just brought in as a secondary topic. Se'en Achinami, we're repeating it twice, but we're not really repeating it. The first time in Shavuos, it was the primary subject. The second time in Kiddushim, it was the secondary subject. So we'll stop over here for today, but just understand, there's a lot that we've done a lot. So first of all, we've seen the concept of Zokakin, right? We've seen the concept, ultimately, again, Zokakin Gilgal, which means that once you're obligated to take a Shvua, literally in a particular area, that can make you take a Shvua in other areas as well. We've also seen the machlokis about Halich, right? I go ahead and I claim against Reuven. Reuven, you owe me $1,000. Reuven says, no, I only owe you $500. And here is the $500. The very $500 that you gave me, I'm giving it right back to you. So what's the status of that type of claim? Machlokis. So some say that's a regular case of Mod Mixas, Tabi Lechia. Reb Sheshe says, no. That Lemais, again, when the money that was lent is still in existence, it's as if that loan never occurred. Therefore, the denial of the second 500 is not a modib mixas. Rather what? It's a denial of a full other claim. It's a kofar bakol, and there's an obligation of shuva. We'll say, how do we paskin? Rambam paskins like Rav Sheshes, namely that halach is not like a modib mixas. Halach will not generate the shvua. So in a case where Reuven says, I only owe you 500, and here is the very 500 that you gave me, so then again, Rabosai, we view that part as if that loan never occurred. Therefore, again, the second 500 is its own self-contained loan, and therefore when Reuven denies it, it's a kofar bakol, a full denial, and Oshua's Moda makes us. Now, just again, without getting into technicalities, we'll talk about this later, the Shulchan Aruch does bring down, we'll still slap him with another Shvua, the Shvua that's called the Shvuas Hesis, which we'll get to later on, to the Shulchan Aruch Paskins. But again, for our purposes for today, there is no Moda makes us by Shvuas Moda makes us by Halach. We pass that ultimately again, Halach will be Potter. So let me share with you a short, very short Vart on the Parsha.